The recent earthquakes in Haiti and Chile showed the difference that modern building codes can make. Haiti's capital city was flattened, hundreds of thousands of homes were destroyed, and close to 250,000 people were killed. Chile experienced a much more powerful earthquake, but less than 1,000 people died, and most of the fatalities were from a tsunami rather than from building collapse. The earthquakes have touched off a debate in the Northwest about how our buildings will do in a major earthquake. So far, the jury is still out. In part two of our series on shaky ground, KUOW's Deborah Wong reports.
When you walk through Seattle's Pioneer Square, you might notice the beautiful old buildings, the antique shops and art galleries, the pubs and cafes. But when John Sue and Cheryl Burwell walk these streets, they notice something else.
Yeah, we don't see any rosettes on this one.
Sue is principal engineer for Seattle's Department of Planning and Development. Burwell is a senior engineer there. They're scrutinizing the old brick walls.
Okay, but there you can see the coursing changing as we look at the bricks on the wall, as well as the brick arches above the windows.
Pioneer Square is home to many of the city's historic brick buildings. Some are a century old. And back when they were built, brick and mortar were considered state-of-the-art. They were thought to be a big improvement over the wooden structures that went up in flames in the Great Seattle Fire. But John Sue says what we've learned since then is that brick and mortar doesn't hold up so well in an earthquake. Mortar tends to crumble, and if a wall goes down, the floors can follow.
The floors are held up by the walls. If the walls separate and fall off, then there's nothing holding up the floors, and then you can pancake a building.
So Sue's department has compiled a list of more than 800 buildings that are thought to be unreinforced masonry buildings, or URMs. Some have been retrofitted, although the guess is that the majority have not. They tend to be clustered in neighborhoods like Pioneer Square, Soto, and Capitol Hill. They include offices, apartment buildings, stores, churches, even schools. The general problem with these buildings is that they were built before people understood what earthquakes can really do.
The earthquake actual force, the elastic force that an earthquake can give you, is huge.
Charles Roeder is a professor of civil engineering at the University of Washington. He says engineers started to understand that in the 1930s, when a devastating earthquake hit Long Beach, California. He says buildings have to be engineered to withstand powerful lateral or sideways forces of an earthquake.
We designed the structure to support the weight vertically. But now it's as if you pulled that building out of the ground, turned it over on its side, and turned gravity up about two or three times.
So these days, when engineers design a building, it has to withstand not just your average earthquake, but something called the maximum credible earthquake, an event that may happen only once every 2,500 years. That's built into the building code. The code is updated every few years with the latest information from geophysicists.
So we have these rather detailed requirements of how you make your structures. And those requirements have been getting more and more sophisticated, more and more detailed, and more complex.
And that might be reassuring if you live or work in a brand new state-of-the-art building. But what about all those other buildings, which were built at various times throughout the century as the building code was evolving? It wasn't until the late 1980s that scientists discovered the region is subject to mega-earthquakes on the Cascadia subduction zone, and that there's an active fault running right underneath the city of Seattle. Bill Steele is the Director of Information Services for the Pacific Northwest Seismic Network.
We haven't had a big crustal earthquake in historic time here in western Washington. We haven't had a great Cascadia subduction zone earthquake since we had western settlers in the Pacific Northwest. So our building stock is really untested from these events, and we have a lot of older buildings that are clearly at risk.
But it's really hard to say which buildings fall into that high-risk category. Engineers are debating that as we speak. And the debate has heated up ever since the recent magnitude 8.8 earthquake on Chile's subduction zone.
These are some pictures in Santiago, some buildings that suffered damage.
David Gonzalez is an associate at Degenkolb, a firm that specializes in earthquake engineering. He was one of a team of engineers who flew to Chile just after the quake hit. Chile is situated in an active seismic zone, and engineers there have a lot of experience designing for earthquakes.
I think Chile did fairly well overall. Obviously, there are a few sad stories and some damage that shouldn't have occurred. However, the building codes in the United States, I believe, are more stringent. I believe we have better quality control. And I think in general, as I say, we are using the state of the state-of-the-art analysis and design to design our buildings.
But where Gonzalez sees reason for optimism, others see quite the opposite. Peter Yanef is a structural engineer in California. He's the author of the book Peace of Mind in Earthquake Country. After the earthquake in Chile, he published an opinion piece in the New York Times that got quite a lot of notice here in the Northwest. He argued that in a megaquake, many of the region's iconic tall buildings would probably collapse. Yanef won't name names, but he says there are many structures here that are simply not engineered to withstand the kind of shaking we saw in Chile.
And what I see in Chile are much better buildings than ours for earthquakes. Much better. What I saw were beefy, strong buildings of the kind I do not see in the United States. Those people have had several mega earthquakes. They have understood the danger, and they have confronted it. We have not yet.
And there are other engineers who say it's not just older buildings that are at risk. Tom Heaton is a professor of engineering seismology at Caltech. A few years ago, he ran computer simulations of how modern tall buildings would do in a subduction zone earthquake. Subduction quakes produce a kind of long-form energy that can set tall buildings whipping back and forth. In his simulation, he found under certain conditions, tall buildings will collapse.
I think there should be a much higher priority trying to understand this problem. I personally think there's no real basis for telling people if you build a tall building that this building will do acceptably in a magnitude 9 earthquakes.
But even if there is a problem, the next question would be, what do you do about it? Engineer Peter Yanef says we should conduct an inventory of every big building downtown to see which ones are at risk, and then go about systematically fixing them. But the UW's Charles Roeder says that would be an enormous, costly undertaking. Take his own office building, a 1950s-era concrete structure. He says just to have a good seismic study done of the building could cost up to $1 million.
If you were to say, well, I'm going to evaluate this building and I'm going to replace it if need be or do an upgrade to it, it means the state of Washington has to be prepared to put maybe $100 million in this particular building. Now, on this campus, how many buildings like this do they have? Is this where the state legislature wants to spend its money?
And that seems to be the rub when you talk about preparing for earthquakes. How much money are you willing to spend? Remember those unreinforced masonry structures that everyone agrees are high risk? The city of Seattle has been working on a plan to require building owners to retrofit them if they haven't done so yet. But the plan is on hold because of worries about the cost, especially in this economy. And when you're talking about big earthquakes here, you're talking about potentially catastrophic but exceedingly rare events, events that may happen only once every few hundred years. It's really hard to put a price tag on that. I'm Deborah Wong, KUOW News.